to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
All my hope Confess that you have provided your Son and He is Lord of all. He has provided salvation for us. Lord, I thank you that through the worship today, we've been able to sing about King Jesus seated among us. We've been able to lift up praise and sing about that beautiful, powerful, wonderful name that brings freedom. And then, Father, about the hope we find in Him and then now that He is Lord. Lord, I pray that any person within the sound of my voice, watching online, listening on the radio, in this room, that we would all confess Him as Lord and Savior today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, if you will. Thank you, worship team, for a beautiful time of worship. Don, thank you so much. If there has ever been an event where timing matters, it's this passage in Philippians chapter 2 where Paul says that every knee will bow and every tongue confess. If you will turn to Philippians chapter 2, we'll be in verse 9. Cale preached verses 4 through 8 last week, and it talks about how Jesus humbled himself. He humbled himself and became a man and went to the cross for us. And then he died and came back to life to bring us new life. And then you see this word right here at the beginning of verse 9 of chapter 2. It says, therefore. Anytime you see the word therefore in scripture, you should always just stop and say out loud this little three-word question. What's it there for? You just ask, what's it there for? Because there's something before it that matters. So because Jesus humbled himself, because Jesus came and brought salvation, because of that, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So today we understand that God has bestowed on Jesus a name that is above every name. Now listen, this is more than the five letters J-E-S-U-S.
This is not about that. This is a name that is above every name. It's about his position. It's about his power. It's about his personality. He has an exalted place of honor. Jesus is a common name, especially in certain parts of the world. Jesus and Jesus, that is used all the time. Yeshua back in biblical days, but it was used by many people. So Jesus is common, but there is only one Lord. Amen? It's the truth. So Jesus Christ, the Lord. Would you say that with me? Jesus Christ, the Lord. So then Paul says in verse 10, he's bestowed that name above every name. And then he says, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So what's he saying here? Paul is pointing back 760 or so years to when Isaiah prophesied about this. And when God spoke to Isaiah and Isaiah wrote it down. Isaiah chapter 45, 700 BC, he says this, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, from my mouth has gone out in righteousness a word that will not return. To me, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance." So God declares it. Isaiah prophesies it to us. 800 years later, Paul reminds us about it and he builds on the thought. He says, every knee is going to bow. He adds to it, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Now listen, when you think about that phrase, picture it in your mind, whatever you picture heaven to look like, in heaven, on earth, what you see right here, under the earth. When you think about all of those things, do you realize that is an amazingly and horrifyingly clarifying passage. It says every single person on the planet who's ever been, who is now, or ever will bow to Jesus. That's those in heaven. That's those in hell. That is why the timing matters. Romans chapter 10, Paul speaks in another way and he says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For from the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So it tells us right here that to profess and believe and to believe on something is more than to believe exists. Even demons believe that Jesus exists. But if your faith only says, I believe Jesus exists, you've got a demonic faith. It's more than that. It's more than what demons have. It's a faith that says, I believe in the sense that I grab a hold of and that he grabs a hold of me. I believe he is who he says he is. It's belief in Jesus, confession with our mouth. And he will be saved is what the scripture tells us here. So what I would say to you about the timing is this, don't miss this. To confess Jesus Christ as Lord means on this earth means salvation and relationship. But if you pass away and you've not confessed him as Lord and Savior, you've not received his gift of salvation, to confess his lordship in hell means separation and condemnation. And it will be too late. Now, I'm not trying to scare anyone, but I want to speak realistically with you today. Timing matters. You will confess Jesus someday. Don't miss the magnitude of this truth. Think about this. Think about everyone that you've locked eyes with this week. Driving down the road, you catch a glimpse of the car next to you. What are they doing? They're probably on their phone. Good grief. Anyway, so you see people and you're driving. You're in the supermarket. You see somebody next to you. You give them a nod. They give you a nod. You know, you see you're at Sand Mountain Park. Every eye you cross walking, every person you see. You go to a football stadium. Every eye you see, every person you see. I want you to stop and imagine how many people would you guess you have crossed eyes with in your locked eyes with in your lifetime. Now, some you see every day, the same place you go eat, you see the same meal, same people every day. Some in your office, you see the same every day. On your assembly line at work, the same people every day. Some people you see over and over, but then some it's just a glimpse at the store, driving down the road, whatever. Would you say tens of thousands? No, I would say in your lifetime, you have probably locked eyes with hundreds of thousands of people, even living right here in Albertville, Alabama. If you've gotten out much at all, you've seen hundreds of thousands of people in your lives. Don't miss this. You have never locked eyes with someone that Jesus did not die for. Let me say it again. You've never locked eyes with someone that Jesus did not die for. Never. But listen to the rest of what Paul says about that in Romans 10. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, we just sang about that over and over and over today, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, or everyone who believes in him, will not be put to shame. Verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Say everyone. Amen. That's you, that's me, it's everyone who does. So then verse 14 says, how then can they call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him and who they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. So here's what we see from this passage. Don't miss this, it's simple. People cannot confess Jesus is Lord if they've never known the power of his name, like we've sung about today. And people will never know the power of his name, like we've sung about today, if somebody doesn't tell them. That someone is you. That someone is me. Jesus will receive the glory that is due him by lost people and by saved people someday. So the question is, what are we willing to do? How far are we willing to go to make sure people have an opportunity to bow and confess Jesus in time? Let me ask it again. How far are we willing to go? What are we willing to do to make sure people have a chance to bow and confess Jesus on this earth before it is everlasting too late? I love how Jesus' half-brother words it. Jesus had a couple of half-brothers, and one of them, Jude, gives us a book of the Bible. It's very, very short. It's one chapter. And in Jude verse 23, I love how Jude words it. He says that our job, he says, save others by snatching them from the fire. I love that, that we are called to snatch people from the flames, from the fire. Well, how do we do that? It's by sharing Jesus with them. So if we've experienced new life in Jesus and we know he is our life, then I know you want other people to know him. I don't have to ask you, do you want people to know him? I know you do. You want people to know Jesus. So what steps can we take as a church, and what steps can we take as individuals to make that happen? Well, three words I want to give you very quickly today that are practical. Here they are. Pray, share, provide. Pray, share, and provide. First of all, our calling is to pray. I have been praying for 50 of our closest neighbors to the house where we live since the 1st of January. Actually, I started at the end of December myself. Many of you started praying for your neighbors about the middle of January when we introduced it. I started early to make sure the software was going to work. And listen, hear me say this. I don't believe prayer is a good practice. I believe it is the most important action you can take, period. I mean that with all my heart. So I've prayed regularly for 50 neighbors that live around us, 50 houses. I've been praying for them day after day that they will come to know the Lord, that they would grow in him, that he would do a work in their families. I've prayed and prayed and prayed until 3 weeks ago. And can I confess to you this morning? I'm trying to be pretty transparent from this podium. 3 weeks ago, I stopped praying for my neighbors. I just did. What happened? Life. I started feeling bad, physically feeling unwell. Went to the doctor and found out about a health concern and issue that was going to mean a pretty major lifestyle change for me and some change of things. And so for me, it was a matter of, I just sort of got a little depressed about that. I didn't feel good dealing with it. I was trying to figure out some new things. And so honestly, I just stopped when my little alarm would go off at 7:40 every morning that says, pray for your neighbors. I just turned it off. I didn't do it. Didn't feel good at all that first week. And then by the end of that next week, I rocked along and I got a special surprise in the form of shingles. Anybody in here ever had shingles? If you've had them, say, oh my, because you know what I'm talking about. I like to call them the devil's dimples, okay? And so I got a bad case of shingles, and then I really got honestly a little depressed. I was in a lot of pain. I was dealing with this other stuff, and then that, I thought, what in the world? What's next? And I just quit praying. I prayed, but I stopped praying for my neighbors. I did. And it wasn't until just a few days ago, maybe 6 or 7 days ago, that the Lord reminded me, Chris, what are you doing? You got your own little issues, but that's just life. Why have you stopped praying for salvation for those near you? And then as I read this passage early this week, knowing it's what I was going to preach, it just hit me in the face that every knee will bow. Every neighbor I have will bow to the Lord someday. Every neighbor I have, their tongue will confess him someday. It will either be on this earth, it will be, or it will be separated him from all eternity. That's a lot bigger than little health concerns of my own or my own little life issues. And so I made a renewed commitment to boldly pray for them daily. So now, why do I tell you all that? Because I have a sneaking suspicion that since January, some of you that committed to pray for your neighbors, life's happened for you too. And some of you may have forgotten or wandered away from that just a little bit. And can I encourage you just to make a renewed, bold commitment to pray for your neighbors? Make a new, renewed commitment in light of the fact that every knee of every person you're going to pray for is going to bow someday. Let's make sure it happens before it's too late. So let's pray for them so we make a renewed commitment to pray. And so I want to encourage you, pray for your friends that don't know Jesus, your neighbors that don't know Jesus. Pray for people around the world that don't know Jesus. Pray for family members that don't know Jesus, someone who lives down the hall from you who doesn't know Jesus, because prayer is the key. Ask the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. I assure you, Jenny has prayed for her husband for year after year after year after year. And some would say, how long will it take for a prayer to be answered? However long it takes is long enough. And the Lord does respond. And so we ask him to do so. And so would you pray? And not only can we pray, but the next thing we can do in light of every knee will bow, every tongue confess. We can pray, but we can also share. We can share. Now listen, I realize I don't know how many times I've stood up here in the last 11 years and said, share the gospel, and talked about how important it is. I understand it can sound a little bit like a broken record, but here's the reality. I don't have much else to say because this is really what life's about, that we give him glory and that we do all we can to help other believers be discipled and come to know him. And so if you get tired of hearing that, it's going to keep happening. It's what we're about. But can I invite you to do something really quick with me for just a moment? I want you to kind of, you're all sitting and being so polite, listening. Thank you very much. If you will, lean forward. Everybody do this. Lean forward just a little. Just come on. Lean. Participation. Okay, now look down at your feet. There they are. You see them? You see your feet? Some of you don't like your feet, but it's okay. You have beautiful feet. How do I know it? The Bible says so. You just looked at the answer to your prayers. If you're praying that Jesus would save that family member, that friend, quite possibly Jesus says, I'm going to let you be your own answer to the prayer. You will be my answer, how I will answer. How? Look again at verse 14 of Romans 10. He says, how will they call on them in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone teaching or preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Listen, you can be Jesus' answer to your own prayers that you pray to him for how to share the gospel with others. We can do so by loving people like Jesus would love them, by sharing the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done. Why? Because every knee will bow someday. So share Jesus with others. Tell your kids, tell your friends, tell your coworkers, tell your neighbors. Over my lifetime, I spent 3.5 years in an itinerant ministry full-time back in the 90s that was just traveling and sharing the gospel. And so kind of in that sense, you get to do that a whole lot in front of a lot of people back in those days. But in my lifetime of knowing Jesus, I've been a follower of Jesus now for 43 years. And in 43 years of knowing him, I don't know how many times I've been blessed to tell people about Jesus and share the gospel. But I can tell you the first time the reality of every knee would bow and every tongue confess hit me, I was a teenager. I was headed into my sophomore year of school. And I had a friend from middle school that we hung out with a little bit. And then as time went on, he ended up in a bad situation with a rough crowd, ended up into some drugs and some other things. And I, in turn answered a call to ministry. And so I was headed down a totally different path. I was seeking to live for Jesus. He, by all means, did not know Jesus, really had a pretty bit of anger towards Jesus because of some family things. And so I would see him in the halls at school after we had been friends years before, and now we were just acquaintances, and I would speak and he would speak, but we would keep moving. Why? Because I thought that's what every good Christian young man was supposed to do, is you be careful about who you associate with so you don't end up doing something that dishonors the Lord. And so time rocked along, and things got worse for him, and honestly, things got better for me. And one point, he came to the place where he just couldn't take it anymore, and he took his own life. And then when he did, he left a very specific note that gave pretty strong indication, pretty much assured, that he did not know the Lord. There was no last-minute conversion for him. And I'll never forget sitting at his funeral at a cult building in Huntsville. It was a dark room with black walls, a little square room. They called it a church. It was not a church. And they were playing what we called back in the 80s death metal. They were playing death metal music, and no mention of Jesus, no mention of an afterlife of any type. And it became so overwhelming to me to stop and realize that every knee will bow someday, which means his knee is bowing now, but it is separate from God. He does not know who he is and is not with him. And the Holy Spirit really convicted me that I had never shared the gospel with him. And that probably, and this may seem dramatic, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I'll be realistic with you. Someone asked me this morning, Chris, where do you get all your energy from? Listen, there's a whole lot of things about Jesus to be excited about. And it doesn't take me long to get all excited about that. But I'll tell you another motivation for wanting people to come to Jesus. If I could, I can't. If we could open up and get a little glimpse into hell right now, I know that friend is there. And I can't help but imagine for 35, 36 years, and I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I really can't help but imagine that he is not cursing my name saying, Chris, why did you never tell me? You knew, and we were friends, and you never told me. Why? That's an overwhelming thought for me. And so I'll be honest, I confessed that to the Lord many, many years ago. And many years ago, here's the reality of the conversation that I felt like the Holy Spirit had with me. I truly sensed the Holy Spirit say that I was forgiven for my inaction, but then this. But that's not going to change his position one little bit. So for 35, 36 years, he is in hell. Every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. He will bow and confess Jesus is Lord, but he does so in condemnation. And because he did not have an opportunity to receive Jesus, or he didn't take that opportunity, and I didn't help give it. So you say, well, Chris, that's not all on you. Listen, do all you want to make me feel better, but here's the reality of it. I knew Jesus, I know Jesus, and I didn't share Jesus. And what I would say to you is that I have a strong desire that people I know will come to know Jesus. And I hope you do as well. Now, you may have your own story like that, and I'm not trying to bring up emotion in you, but I want to be realistic and say that it's not enough to just pray. You should pray, and it's the most important thing, but it is also important to share. God has put you in the lives of your neighbors, of your friends, of your family, of your coworkers, of your employees, of your employer, of your schoolmates. He's put you there, of your teammates, so that you can speak the name of Jesus to them. There is power in the name of Jesus. Friends, you have a part to play in that. So not only can we pray, not only can we share, but also, don't miss this last one really quickly, we can provide. We can provide. Now, you say, oh, we're going to talk about money. Well, just for a second, it's really not about money. It's just about our life resources. I want you to think about something. If you had some friends that you know didn't know the Lord, and somehow, in understanding, you came to realize that if you wrote a check for $100, that without a doubt, those friends would come to Jesus. I have no doubt every person in this room would get their checkbook out right now and start writing checks. Why? Because we want our friends to come to Jesus. And if we could, if it was that simple, we would start writing checks to do that. But please understand, I'm not saying money's ever going to save someone. But what I am saying to you is this: our resources are used to provide local and international ministry support so that God's kingdom can be advanced. He allows us to be a part of his plan. Let me give you a couple specific examples. Now, this will be a little shocking to some of you, but to some it won't. But listen, in just a couple of weeks, we will invest right at $7,000 to make Vacation Bible School happen. You say, that's a whole lot of money for 1 week, Chris. Yes. Why do we do it? Because every knee will bow and every tongue confess someday. And also, it's good math. I want you to think about it for a minute with me. Think about this. The average child who participates in ministry is at church probably twice a month. And so if you have them for 2 hours of teaching a month, well, then that means you have, a month. That's 24 hours or so on Sundays over the course of a year. Now, hang in here with me. But Vacation Bible School is 15 hours of discipleship. So what we can do in a week, it takes almost a year to do under normal circumstances. That makes sense? So it's important. That's why VBS matters. That's why it's important. That's why you pray for it. That's why we give. That's why we share. That's why we disciple children. It really does matter. And it makes a huge difference. And so we'll do that. And then understand that our church budget, we operate from September 1st to August 31st. If the rest of the months of June, July, and August carry on as we have had so far, by the time we get to the end of August, we will, as a church, invest a little over $300,000 in missions alone. Now, I'm not talking about ministry inside this church. I'm talking about missions around the world and missions outside the walls of this church in other places. Why? Because every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. We will invest hundreds of thousands of more dollars in discipleship of teenagers, children, and ministry right here in our facility and in our community that will impact us in a different way. Why? Because every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. So it matters. So when you think through all of that, my question to you is, are you a part of that? Now, I'm not asking you to start doubling whatever you give. This is not a message about giving. This is a message about participation. This is a message about you being able to invest in the kingdom of God. And so I want to encourage you, every time you give to the Advance 2022 partnership, people give above and beyond their regular giving to that. You are holding the rope. You are providing support for the gospel to be shared in Kyrgyzstan. You are providing a way for the gospel to be shared in Lebanon, in Egypt, in Uganda, in Senegal, West Africa. The gospel is being provided in Brazil, 130 churches planted in India. You are helping to make a difference in South America and in different parts of the U.S. Why? You say, well, Chris, my gift would be so little. It really can't make that big of a difference, can it? Let me speak to that for a second. Nowhere in the scripture do I see God looking at the amount of what we give and saying, this is going to make you bless me more than someone else. It's really not about the month. In fact, there are some people that say, I couldn't give that much. I get it. There are people in this room. Here's the reality. Some people, if you give $25 for the kingdom's purposes, that will bless the Lord more than some people in this room giving $2,500. Now, how does that work? That's God's economy. And God will use both. And here's what I would say to you. I wrote it down this way, and I do want you to hear it. God looks at the value of our sacrifice, the generosity of our hearts, and the choice to put our money where our mouth is. They're his resources anyway. So he's looking at the value of our sacrifice. It won't be the same for all of us. It just won't. He looks at the generosity of our hearts, and then he looks at the choice we make to put our money where our mouth is. The reality is, God, I know every one of us want to bless the name of the Lord. One of the ways we can do that is to be a provider, to be a resource for the kingdom of God. Now, God can get it done without us. Make no mistake about it. He can. But he chooses to use us and let us be a part. It's for his glory and his good. And so every time you give, you are helping to make that happen. And so I want to encourage you to stop and think through what that means for you in your life. If you've not been faithful to give, start today. Just start somewhere. Don't look for a million excuses not to. Start with something and begin to invest. A little, a lot, whatever the case may be. If you've been giving, praise the Lord. Understand that that blesses the Lord when we do so with a cheerful attitude and we do it wanting to advance the kingdom. Just be obedient to him and continue to do so. I'm thankful that we made a decision years ago that we would not operate as a small to medium-sized church, that we would not say these are the things we can do because this is what the world says a church our size can do. No, instead, we made a decision that this church, no matter how big we are, can do anything the Lord wants to do with us. And he can use us for his kingdom however he wants to do so. So we set our sights on bigger things. In the last year, when you add the total of people in the morning service and the second service all together, on an average, we're about 100 people more than we were a year ago. Or 100 people more, excuse me, than we were pre-COVID. Not a year ago, pre-COVID. Now, what does that mean? That's just more of us together seeking to partner to make a difference for the kingdom. That's what we're called to do. And so I want to encourage you to find a way to pray, because every knee will bow and every tongue confess someday. I want to encourage you to find a way to share, because every knee will bow and every tongue confess someday. And find a way to provide. You get to be a part of that. So what does that look like for you? I don't know. We're all different. But I know this. I've got people I'm praying for. I hope you do too. I've got people that I need to share with, some that I have and some that I have not yet. I hope that you will too. And I surely want to be a part of providing for God's kingdom. I want to be a part of investing in what he is up to around the world. I pray that you would as well. As we come to a time of invitation, we're going to sing again that song that we started with, but that we sang second. Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? There's freedom in the name. There's healing in the name. There's salvation in the name. There's life in the name. There is no other name but the name of Jesus. Now, I got to tell you, don't get offended. It's been a pretty serious message this morning, but let me just say straight up, if you sing that, be willing to pray boldly for others to come to Jesus regularly. Be willing to share, to step up and speak. You may say, Chris, I don't know what to say. What if I mess it up? Listen, there's nowhere in the scripture that it says every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Or if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and repeat these exact words just perfectly, you will be saved. That's not what it says. It's about understanding that God brings us new life. So you just share your story for God's glory, how he changed you, what he did in your life. And so if you'll commit to say, I may not be able to say it perfectly, but I will tell people what God has done for me. I will share that with that friend, that coworker, the person God's laid on my heart before it's too late. Listen, pray, share, then make a decision to provide. Be a part of that at some level in some way. Listen, I want you to understand that we can sing. There's freedom in the name. There's healing in the name. There's power in the name. Salvation in the name. That rolls off easily. And Don's a great worship leader. I mean, he's put together an incredible group of musicians. He makes it easy to sing. But the reality is you can sing and sing a lie. Now, I'm not saying you are, but I'm surely saying that I have sometimes. There have been times that I've sung worship songs that I didn't mean. And today I want to mean it. I really mean that there is so much power in the name of Jesus, and it is all that we need, his essence, who he is, his personality, that in light of that, I will pray more boldly and for more people and consistently, and I won't let my life circumstances stop me from praying like they did a few weeks ago. I will pray. I will share more boldly. Listen, it's easy for me to get up. This may sound crazy because some of you would say you could never get up here and speak in front of hundreds of people. The reality is it is easy for me to get up here and share the gospel. It is sometimes hard for me to share the gospel with someone one-on-one that I've just met in a different setting. So I want to believe there's power in the name and be willing and ready and bold enough to do that. And then I want to be a part of the solution of providing, of making that happen. What about you? Would you bow your heads with me? Would you take a second and examine? Do you need to make a renewed commitment to pray more boldly for people who don't know Jesus? Do you need to make a renewed commitment to share the gospel? Just, and again, doesn't have to be perfect. Just talk about what Jesus has done for you and who he is. Maybe for you, it's a renewed commitment to provide. Some of you've not been doing that at all, and the Lord's laying on your heart. Start somewhere and start today. Maybe you're here and you've heard the gospel clearly presented multiple times, and with your head bowed and eye closed for just a moment, just get comfortable there for a second, everybody, because I want to talk to a certain group of people for a moment. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, you've never received his gift of salvation, it is no accident that you are here today to hear very specifically what the scripture says. Remember what it said? It says that if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you can be saved. So do you believe that Jesus died for you and came back to life? Do you believe that he wants to make you new and whole and give you new life that starts here on earth and carries on for all eternity with him? Do you understand your need, that you can't get there on your own and you need a God to give you mercy and grace and salvation? It says to confess that with your mouth. It's as simple as saying at your seat right now, Jesus, I need you. I confess that I cannot get to you on my own, that I make a mess of life on my own. God, I want you to save me. I want to live different. I want my mind to be different, my heart to be different. If you're here in this room and you need to give your life to Jesus right now, would you just stop and pray to him? Jesus, forgive me. I confess my need for you. I proclaim that it is you who brings salvation and you are the one who gives us eternal life. And I ask for it today. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, this is not something I would normally do a lot, but I want to ask just so I can pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you or point you out. I'm not going to do that. But just so I can pray, if you just now said, yes, I need to be saved, I need to give my life to Jesus, so I'm praying to ask him to make me new and to change me. If that's you, would you hold your hand right up real high so I can see and pray for you? Okay, I see. Anybody else? Anyone else? Okay, well, I'm praying for you. If you're one of the couple that raised your hand, please hear me say this. This is the beginning of a journey for you with Christ, but it takes growing in that. We would love to help you. So find a way to contact us. Come see us after the service, whatever the case may be. One of us, write your name on the little registration and put that I prayed that prayer. I'll contact you later. That's fine. But just so we can help you grow in that faith and to know what it means to walk in that. We want to help you. Maybe you want to walk down this aisle and make it public. That's fine. For others, you want to confess it publicly by being baptized at some point soon in the future to show the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Maybe God's calling you to become an official member of our church. There are people in here that have been attending for a while, and maybe you realize this is the place God's calling you to be because you believe with every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, this is a place where you can help expand the gospel. So if that's the case, come partner with us. Come. We'd love to have you. You want to come and pray here in the altar, whatever God is saying, would you respond to him? Father God, this scripture preaches itself that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that you are Lord to the glory of the Father. So Father, we, in light of that, give us a passion to pray for lost people. In light of that, give us a passion to share truth with those that are around us and those even not near us. And Lord, give us the commitment and the desire to provide and be a part of that. Lord, speak to our hearts. Make us more like you. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is wonderful. And so God, we celebrate that now. I ask that you let us sing this with all truth in light of what we've learned from the scripture. Do a work in our lives, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing as we sing.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit us at www.albertvillefbc.church. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.